study for time and eternity. The school located in Avondale is to be conducted in accordance with the mind and will of God. Every student should work from principle, his motto being, I study for time and for eternity. I use my muscles to do the very things that someone must do. Students should perform physical labor in the early morning and in the cool of the day, using the hours during the heat of the day for study. The limbs and muscles are God's gift just as verily as our riches and intellect. Every part of the human machinery must be used proportionately, or else some parts will be clogged and enfeebled. It is just as essential to do the will of God when erecting a building as when bearing a testimony in meeting. In every building raised, if the workers have brought the right principles into their character building, if they work with an eye single to the glory of God, striving in all ways to do their best, they will grow in grace and knowledge. This will require true diligence. It may often be hard work, but it will pay. In everything you do, do your best. Negligent, slothful work is not so great an offense against men as against God. By doing it, you are forming your character for unfaithfulness. The only right way to do is to do all to the glory of God. Take no human being as your criterion. Let no human voice lay down the limit of your duty. One human being may have a lawful authority over another and may rightly inspect his work. But every worker is to look beyond to the divine, to him who rules in the heavens, whose eyes behold all the works of our hands. The Lord has called us to be his servants in all things, and no unfaithful work will bear the signature of well done. While we are in this world, we must secure by the sweat of our brow the bread that we eat. Many are inclined to divorce temporal business from spiritual service. Many think that the time devoted to temporal things is lost. They think that if they could devote their time wholly to religious duties, they would be much more fervent and earnest in religious things. But Christ has left us no such example. He was a true worker in temporal as well as spiritual things, and in all he did, he brought a determination to do his Father's will. It is not God's intention that the business of life shall stand still, that all duties shall be regarded as unimportant, but the ministry, and the lines of work embraced by the ministry. To every man God has given his work according to his several ability. As wise teachers, parents should labor earnestly for their children, leading them to cooperate with God. They should study carefully and prayerfully how to manifest kindness, courtesy, and love, but not blind affection. True Christian parents are teachers in the home, said Christ. I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the word. God-fearing parents will pray with unfeigned lips that they may be more deeply impressed by the exceeding great and precious promises of God's word, and through Christ perfect holiness in his fear. Parents, as teachers of your loved ones, the truth should have a controlling power over your conscience and your understanding, presiding over word and deed. Be as faithful in your home life as you are in the worship of God. Give a right character to all within the home. Angels of God are present, noting how younger members of the Lord's family are treated. The religion of the home will surely be brought into the church. The greatest and most responsible of all work is to mold and fashion children to proper habits of speech. The education of children should begin in the home, but parents cannot properly fulfill their responsibilities unless they take the Word of God as the rule of their life, unless they realize that they are to so educate and fashion the character of each dear human treasure that it may at last lay hold of eternal life. It is a parent's duty to speak right words. Children should be taught to speak respectfully and lovingly to their parents. Day by day, parents should learn in the school of Christ lessons from one that loves them. Then the story of God's everlasting love will be repeated in the home school of the tender flock. Thus, before reason is fully developed, children may catch a right spirit from their parents. Parents must learn the lesson of implicit obedience to God's voice, which speaks to them of His Word. And as they learn this lesson, they can teach their children respect and obedience in word and action. This is the work that should be carried on in the home. Those who do it will reach upward themselves, realizing that they must elevate their children. This education means much more than mere instruction. How startling is the proverb, "As the twig is bent, the tree is inclined." This is to be applied to the training of our children. Parents, will you remember that the education of your children from their earliest years is committed to you as a sacred trust? These young trees are to be tenderly trained that they may be transplanted to the garden of the Lord. Home education is not by any means to be neglected. Those who neglect it neglect a religious duty. Signed, Mrs. E.G. White. Copied July 30, 1897.